are listening to the IELTS podcast. Learn from tutors and ex-examiners who are masters of IELTS preparation. Your host, Ben Worthington.
Hello there, friends. This episode is all about how to prepare for the follow-up questions in part two of this speaking. And it's not going to be me, it's going to be the expert essay corrector from IELTS podcast, Andrew, and he's recorded this. And what it is just like a mock exam with a few tips in as well. So, enjoy this. And I think the best way would just be to relax, listen to it, see how he structures the answers. Note down any phrases that you could borrow for your own exam, practice them, and then, in the exam, use them and remember just to relax and to shine, because it's your day, it's your time to pass the exam. So all the best and enjoy the podcast. Take care.
Hello there, everyone. So as most of you will know, during part two of the speaking exam, you are required to speak for 1 to 2 minutes about a subject chosen by the examiner. Now, you are allowed a minute of prep time for the long form speech, but afterwards come a series of follow-up questions related to the topic that you do not get a chance to prepare for. So here are a selection of follow-up questions answered by me so that you can get an idea of how a natural and fluent native speaker would respond to these sorts of inquiries. It can help you to relax during the exam, to imagine that you're just at dinner with a friend and answering the questions in a relaxed manner as you would with them. But remember to fully expand your answers as much as possible. Always answer in full sentences and not in 1 or 2 word answers. The topic for this first section is favourite genre of music.
Is this genre related to any other genres?
No, I think classical music may be the original genre.
When did you first discover this was your favourite genre?
I think it wasn't until I was about 28.
Has this genre influenced your life in any way?
Yes, I think it improved both my attention to detail and my concentration.
Do you play any instruments?
No, but I do sing a little bit.
Can you play any songs by an artist from this genre?
No, I'm afraid I can't sing any opera.
Have you performed any songs in public?
I sang karaoke once, but I was very, very loud.
How was your experience?
It was fairly embarrassing, actually. There were many people there.
If given a chance, would you do it again?
I probably would, yes. In this next section, we've been asked about our favourite place.
When did you discover this favourite place?
It was in the summer of 2014 when I was living in Croatia.
How did you discover it?
I was taking some tourists on a hike up a hill, and it's at the top of that hill.
How often do you go there?
I haven't been there for many years. I haven't been to Croatia for I think about 3 years.
Is it easy to go there?
From Zadar, yes. But from here, it would be a plane, so no.
Do you bring anyone there?
I did when I was there. I took numerous hiking parties up that hill.
If so, did they like it there as well?
Yes, I seem to remember that the reason I liked to take people there is because everybody loved it.
If given a choice, do you prefer to live there?
Maybe for a short time, but there's not very much going on there.
Now I'm going to start giving some slightly longer answers. This section is about a friend, a close friend, I believe.
What was the happiest moment shared between you two?
I'd say it was when we moved into a new house together one Christmas. We'd been living between houses for about 3 months, so we were exceedingly happy to get a new one.
When was the last time you talked to each other?
Earlier today, actually. We speak to each other on instant messenger all the time.
Where does your friend live now?
In a place called Levenshulme in Manchester, England.
Have you and your friend fought over something?
Yes, actually. She once forgot to tell me the correct date and time for a gig that I was really looking forward to. So I woke up on the morning to text her about how excited I was, and she told me that the gig was the previous day. I was quite upset about that.
Were you able to resolve the issue? How?
Well, we are really good friends, so even though I was annoyed for a short time, I was able to forgive her quite easily. She is only human after all.
What do you think is the secret to having true friends?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think you have to trust the people, but also each person has to practice tolerance and forgiveness and patience. It's very complex. It takes quite a lot of work to maintain relationships.
What should someone do if they do not know how to make friends?
I would suggest interacting with people more at work or joining a social club, maybe. Taking up a hobby that you enjoy that other people are doing is a great way to meet like-minded people.
How does a person overcome being shy?
A lack of confidence can really only be overcome by exposing yourself to the situations that cause you to be anxious and worried. By succeeding in these interactions, we increase our expectation of future success, and that reduces shyness. And now we have been asked about a social media site that we use frequently.
What is something you don't like about this site?
I don't like the way that it's full of adverts. Like, the adverts are even in the middle of videos now. I find it intrusive.
Are there any perks for setting up an account?
They don't offer you anything specific, but it does offer a great opportunity to stay in touch with friends.
Is this site free for all?
Yes, I don't believe they've ever charged anyone for using it.
Are social media sites dangerous to use?
I'm sure they can be, but if you use them responsibly, then you can certainly reduce the risk that anything bad will happen.
Have you witnessed cyberbullying?
To some extent, yes. I think if you go into the comments section of any blog post or social media post, you will see people bullying one another.
What's your advice to people who are cyberbullying?
I think that people who bully other people online often feel as if the communication isn't quite real, given the distance and the disconnect involved. So I would advise them just to really carefully consider somebody else's feelings before making that nasty comment.
Does it change your views towards anything?
Cyberbullying? I think that perhaps we need greater policing on the internet, or maybe even greater support of victims on the internet.
Can you help someone who is being cyberbullied?
Certainly. I think that people who are being bullied often feel very alone, and so reaching out to support them and advising them to report the bullying is probably the best thing you can do.
Have you experienced first-hand cyberbullying?
Nothing that I can remember, but I'm sure that I've had a few angry comments posted about me online, possibly. I'm fairly good at giving back, though. I can argue.
What did you do when this happened?
I tend to engage the person in a reasonable and rational debate. I think that angry comments and bullying are often thoughtless emotional responses. It's difficult to continue an emotional argument against a logical response.
Did you report or tell anyone about the incident?
No, like I said, I've never experienced anything serious enough to warrant reporting it to the authorities or to anybody. If I did experience something that warranted reporting it to the police, I certainly would immediately.
Which social media sites should you avoid and why?
I'm not sure I'd recommend avoiding any. I think it's a matter of personal choice. These next follow-up questions are about a favourite hobby.
Do you know any friends who share this same hobby?
Yes, it was actually a close friend of mine and I who first undertook the hobby. We started going climbing together, I'd say about 3 years ago, and we went every week for around a year.
How did you discover this hobby?
While I was out of the country, my friend Alex started to go climbing with another friend of ours, Adam. And when I came back, he insisted that I go with him, and I developed a love for it from that.
Is this hobby expensive?
Kind of. I mean, it's around £10 per visit, but you do get unlimited time. But if you want to buy the climbing shoes and the rope and the harness and the belay, it's going to be another couple of £100 about there. You can rent this equipment each time you go, but that is a few pounds every single time.
How long do you plan on keeping this hobby for?
Hopefully forever. It's a great way to stay strong and fit.
Do you think many people like this hobby too?
It's quite a niche hobby. I know there are plenty of people that like it, but it's certainly not the majority of people.
How popular is this hobby?
Among the people that like it, very. But I think most people prefer things like jogging or just going to the gym. I think the fear of heights gets in the way of a lot of people.
Are there any groups, specialists, competitions or clubs for this hobby?
Yep, all of those things. Seeing as you can only do indoor climbing inside climbing centres that have the walls and all the safety equipment and the supervisory staff, everyone tends to do it in the same places. But also there are world championships, there are professionals, there's a whole world devoted to it.
Have you met a celebrity or known personality who is into this hobby as well?
I'm sure they exist, but I've never met one personally. And now a very common IELTS Part 2 speech on a memorable moment in your life.
What was so special about this moment?
Well, I'd been away from my hometown for almost a year, so seeing it come over the horizon from the window of the train was quite moving. I think I actually cried a little.
Would you repeat the moment again if you could?
The moment itself, yes, but the year away in order to get the moment, maybe in like 5 years.
Would you skip this moment if you could?
No, coming home is one of the best feelings.
Is this moment something that you think you deserve to have?
Yes, I think everybody deserves to come home after a long trip, because the alternative is just to remain homeless.
If you could change one thing about this moment, what would it be?
I think I wouldn't have spent every single penny of my money before arriving at that point.
Did you learn any lesson when this happened?
Yes, I learned that if you spend every single penny of your money, you have to live off bread and cheese for a few days. Next up, a set of questions on our dream job.
Why do you love this job?
Because I get to work from home and I get to decide my own schedule.
Does anyone you know have this job?
Yes, my friend who still lives in Barcelona also works from home as a freelancer.
When did this become your dream job?
Not until after about 6 months of doing it. For the first 6 months, it was very, very difficult to keep to schedule, to motivate myself to work. So only when I'd become sufficiently disciplined did I actually really start to enjoy the job.
What will it take to get and keep the job?
I think the right opportunity coming up at the right time, followed by a considerable amount of self-management and discipline.
Does your dream job make enough money for you to live comfortably?
Comfortably, maybe not. But it's more the lifestyle that I seek than the financial situation.
Can you ever be too old to work at your dream job?
I don't think you can ever be too old for anything. Unless you're physically incapable, but then you're just too physically incapable. Age doesn't have to matter.
If you are to choose between your dream job and a job that you hate but will give you a lot of money, what would you choose?
I would choose my dream job every time. I don't care very much for money. And here we have a set of questions about our dream vacation.
Why is this your dream vacation?
Because I've never been to Asia. I'm sure that my dream vacation will change once I have been to Asia, but for now, I would like to spend a year living around the different countries of the Asian continent.
If you could choose one person to go with you on this vacation, who would it be?
I actually prefer to travel alone because I like to meet new people on the road. I think that if you travel with close friends, your plans and your wants and needs can get in the way of one another and cause quite a lot of arguments.
Is this vacation expensive?
It would be if I wanted to go to each individual country and come back to the UK each time. But that's why instead what I'd like to do is live on the Asian continent for a year, because housing there is much cheaper. Internal flights around Asia are much cheaper than hopping backwards and forwards to and from the UK.
Are you doing anything at the moment in order to achieve this dream vacation?
Yes, I'm going to be working for the next 5 years to make sure that I am location independent and financially stable enough to warrant 12 months on another continent. And now a slightly more complex topic about the cost of retirement.
Is the cost of retirement too expensive?
I think that depends on whether you've managed to take care of housing during your working life. If you still have rent or mortgage to pay during retirement, then maybe. But as well, it depends on what you consider to be necessary. If all you need is enough to eat and your friends, then no, it's probably not.
Should you be able to retire as a young adult?
I think you should be able to retire whenever you feel like it, just as long as you can support yourself.
How much do you want to save up for retirement?
I don't necessarily want savings. I would like to have an income from a business that I've set up that still comes to me during retirement.
How much does the average person in your country save up for retirement?
Do you know, I have absolutely no idea. I'm guessing it's in the region of a couple of £100,000.
In what country would you like to retire?
Probably somewhere in South America like Costa Rica. I'd like to be surrounded by nature and people who love music.
Can you think of a business to run during your retirement years?
Anything that I can do from a laptop would be fine. I understand that during retirement my main problem is going to be mobility and physical ability. So anything I can do sat down from a computer is ideal. These next follow-up questions are about public transport.
When do you most commonly use public transport?
Well, I don't drive, so pretty much all the time. Whenever I need to go anywhere that's more than an hour's walk, I will take public transport. But I consider anything less than an hour to be walking distance.
What are the benefits of using public transport?
Well, as a person who likes to move around a lot, the responsibility of having a car and the costs associated with having a car are just too much to bear. So for me, public transport works out considerably cheaper than owning a private vehicle.
What are the disadvantages of using public transport?
That there are other people on it. You can't control who you ride with, and so sometimes you have unpleasant company.
Why do you use public transport?
Usually it's to get between the cities of the UK. They tend to be more than an hour's walk apart, and so public transport really is the only reasonable way to get between them for me.
Was there a time when you came late using public transport?
Many times. I suppose that's another disadvantage, is if it's an infrequent route that isn't served very well and you rely on it, then the chances of you arriving late are much higher. And here are some questions about pets.
Who takes care of your pets? Are they high maintenance?
I take care of my dog exclusively. And no, she's not high maintenance. She only needs a couple of walks a day, a meal and a bit of play. She's also quite an affectionate dog, so she does need quite a number of cuddles every day.
What do you think of people who don't like pets?
I'm not sure I really have an opinion on people who don't like pets. I'm sure they have their reasons. Maybe they're vegan. Maybe they're just really busy.
Do you plan on owning another type of pet in the future?
Yes, I plan to not only get another dog so that my dog has company, but I will always have dogs. So when this one and the next one passes away, I will certainly buy another one.
Which kind?
Something that's about the size of a fox and that is cheeky.
Do you treat your pets as your best friend?
Certainly as one of my best friends. I mean, a lot of people won't do this, but I will let my dog sleep in bed with me.
Have you taught your pet any trick?
Well, my dog knows a lot of silent commands. So I can make gestures with my hand and she will sit or lie down or give me her paw or be quiet, those sorts of things.
Is it difficult to teach your pet basic tricks?
Not really. You just have to have patience. Dogs will do anything for treats. And as long as you spend the time reinforcing what you're trying to teach them, they'll usually pick it up just fine.
Has your pet joined any show or competition?
No, I think she's a bit too stupid for that.
What is your pet's favourite food?
Anything that I have?
Are you familiar with the dangerous foods for your pets?
Yes, I am.
What are they, and why do you think they are dangerous?
Well, things like chocolate and chili are poisonous to dogs, but also they don't digest dairy very well, which is not poisonous, but it does end up quite messy. So in this next section, we've been asked to give a speech about technology, and these questions are related.
How much time do you spend using technology?
Oh, probably about half of all of my time, but I do need it for my job, so that's really why.
What are the most common types of technology you use?
My laptop and my smartphone.
In your free time, would you rather use technology or sleep?
If I could do both, I would, but I think doing things is always better than doing nothing, so probably use technology.
In today's time, what are the disadvantages of using technology?
I think it distracts a lot of people from the real world. I think people forget about real life experiences because they're glued to their smartphone. Also, we have lost quite a lot of skills to smartphones. Lots of studies have shown that people have lost the ability to do basic mathematical calculations in their mind as a result of having a calculator in their pocket.
Do you think technology makes people become more social?
No, I think it does make people chat more frequently, but I would define being social as speaking face to face. I don't think you can have an actual emotional connection with someone over an instant messenger, and I think that's required for being social.
Can you live a day without using your cell phone or laptop?
Can I? Yes, I'm sure I'd survive. Have I done in the last few years? No. Next up, the topic is books.
Do your friends love to read as well?
Yes, I have some very literary friends. One of them studied English, one philosophy, and one law. So they are very much readers.
Do you exchange books with them?
Not so much anymore, but in the past we essentially read one another's book collections. We exchanged pretty much everything.
What was the first book you finished reading?
Whatever. Oh, I don't remember. I was a big reader from a very young age, so it will have been some children's book or other in primary school.
Did you love the story?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure that's what made me finish it.
What have you learned from this book?
I mean, casting my mind back, I think it was about Vikings. So, something about Vikings.
Explain the plot of your favourite story or book.
Well, I have many favourite books, but perhaps the most interesting plot of one of my favourite books is about a family that move into a house, and the dimensions of the house begin to shift. So one day the dad measures that the inside of the house is actually bigger than the outside of the house. Not only that, but it continues to change in size and shape, and dark doorways open up in walls. Beyond these doorways is a cold black space that's described as labyrinthine. Essentially, a team of explorers go into this labyrinth beyond the house. And it's a horror story, so lots of horrible things happen in there, but it's the way that it's described that's really unnerving. It's the absolute blackness and the coldness of it. And finally, the old IELTS favourite, family. Specifically, some questions about grandparents.
How often do you see your grandparents?
I see my grandmother a couple of times a year. I actually saw her quite recently.
Do you enjoy seeing them?
Yes, it brings back a lot of memories from when I was a child, because I used to stay at my grandma's house quite a lot.
How far do you live from your grandparents?
My grandma still lives in my hometown, so it's not far. It's about 8 miles from where I am now.
What do you call your grandparents?
It would be grandma and granddad.
Do you think you are their favourite grandson or granddaughter?
Yes, I do. I was the first of my generation of children to be born. So the family always has a running joke about me being the favourite.
What's the best thing they have told you?
I particularly enjoy it when my grandma tells stories about when my mum was young. My mum finds it quite embarrassing, but I find it hilarious. So that about does it. Hopefully, this has gone some way to preparing you for what to expect from the follow-up questions after you've given your speech for 1 to 2 minutes. Remember, stay relaxed, speak at a decent pace so the examiner can understand you fully, and just pretend like they're your friend. But perhaps most importantly, always fully expand your answers. Ensure that you speak in full sentences. And don't be afraid to take a second or two to think about your response before you give it. Because remember, once you've said it, you cannot take it back. I do hope you found this useful. But if you do feel like you need any further help, you can get in touch with us via the website, as we do have a range of courses available to help you along the way. Otherwise, best of luck in your exam, and maybe I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye, guys.
IELTSPodcast.com.